Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you, realizing, Lord, you have given us your only begotten Son, who came, shed his blood on Calvary's cross for us. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, your Spirit will move a mighty way amongst each one of us, helping us, O God, to see your will, your glory, and your honor. Lord, I pray that as we realize this Easter morning, Jesus arose, and that he did it for you, for each one of us. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts and lives as we look at your word to realize what all had to be done for us to receive salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the Old Testament lesson in Isaiah, we find there that the writer of Isaiah not only tells us what God told him and how he told him, but he wrote it down word for word as moved by the Holy Spirit. We see in the Old Testament lesson how Jesus not only came into the world, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, sending him into the world that we can be saved, that we can have eternal life. And through this, Jesus walking this earth for 33 years, preaching for the last three, the gift of God, the mercy of God, and the love of God to those who would hear and those he came in contact with. We find then that as the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that day, and we have to include ourselves in that because we are all sinners, that they were acting even on our behalf in many cases. Let's put him to death. After all, he's preaching something that we don't want to hear or have to live by. And so we read in Isaiah that he was marred beyond recognition or appearance. He was beaten. And if you know anything about history, the clubs that they used in those days were called the cat clubs, where when they hit you, it would take not only skin off of you, it would take part of the flesh also. He was beaten at that time. They beat them up to 39 swats, and they figured 40 would always kill a man, so they would do one short. And so Jesus's visage or his appearance was almost unrecognizable, bleeding and rejected of men, bleeding and rejected by those who he had come to save, bleeding and rejected because the people did not realize that the world was made by him and they did not recognize him. He came onto his own and his own did not recognize him. Yet they wanted to put him to death because they were so satisfied in living under the devil's rule. And Christ came. He had victory over death. He had victory over Satan. And he had victory over the grave. He has victory over each one of our souls. And in that victory, he gives us the right in which we can come to him because he died on Calvary's cross. And dying on that cross, remember that cross of that day is not like this cross. That cross of that day was rugged and probably slapped together in a hurry. They nailed him instead of tying him to the cross. Yet not one of his bones were broken. And he went through that agony of the cross, the agony of rejection, the agony of being beaten and whipped because of you and me, for our sin, and for us to have the love of God coming to him, and that the love of God was so important that we find in this love, God was willing to send his own son into the world to die for our sin, for our care, for our salvation. And on this Easter Sunday, as he rose again from the dead, we find there that in that rising, he did it to show you and I that he has the victory over sin, over death, and over the power of the devil. We find there, as told us in Ephesians, as we read the epistle lesson in Ephesians, it tells us there very plainly that the writer of Ephesians, which was Paul, and he wrote many of the books, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. You know, when we look at wisdom, we're told in the Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then when we're getting wisdom, it tells us to get understanding. Understanding of why God sent Jesus into the world. Why God sent his only begotten Son. Why God so loved the world, the creation that he had made. And if you look back in Genesis, when he finished it, he said, it is very good. Yet Satan came and marred the landscape and got man to follow him instead of following God. And in that following, God says, we have already a plan of salvation, even before the foundation of the world. And when Jesus prayed in the garden, Lord, if it's possible, remove this cup from me, he was thinking of the agony that he would have to go through physically, as well as the spiritual agony that he would be fighting Satan for the battle of our hearts, of our souls, of our life, of eternity. When we look out in our life today, and we see our life, and then what do we see beyond it? Do we see glory and honor, or do we see something that we have hoped we could set up for ourselves, which would be the way of the world, the way that Satan wants us to go? You see, when Paul wrote these words, he not only is telling us that the glory of God is coming to us through the Holy Spirit, but it's because Christ died for us. And we find that he worked in Christ and he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. You see, Christ fought the battle of sin for us. Christ was willing to go to the cross for us. Do you think you would be willing to do that for your neighbor or for your family? You know, I made the statement, and it's been made to me in different times, on different occasions. What if Jesus had said, I don't want to die for you. I changed my mind. We would be under the hand of the devil. And we would be under the hand that Satan would do to us anything he wanted. But God gave us his begotten loving Son, Jesus, who came and died on Calvary's cross and beat Satan away from us. And as we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And as we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And we find Christ did this on the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit is with us as we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We go back so much, and we can in John 3:16, God so loved the world that when Christ came, he gave the right to be for the people to become the sons of God if they would believe on him and trust in him above all things. And so as we come to our text today, we find some of the things that led up to that Easter morning. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8, tells us Christ had been crucified on the cross of Calvary. Joseph of Arimathea had taken him down and put him in a grave that had never been used, a grave amongst the rich. And we see Satan doing everything he can to keep Christ in that grave. They had soldiers there. They sealed the grave. And now we see what happens on that Sunday morning. Easter Sunday, he is risen. Praise the Lord. He is risen indeed. And we read that as we stand. Let us read Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb and with fear and great joy, and ran to bring the disciples' word. "These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. The word is eternally true. Amen." You may be seated. Can you imagine walking the road to see a gravesite? And suddenly there's a great earthquake. And I am sure the women coming there were fearful because of this earthquake, not realizing what was going on. And they come around the corner and they see this tomb where Jesus had been put only a couple days before that, open, and an angel sitting on top of that stone, which probably weighed 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. And that angel was like lightning and whiter than snow. And the soldiers that the Sanhedrin had gotten Pilate to put there were laying on the ground as if they were dead because they were so fearful of what had happened. They later went to the high priest and told them what had happened. And the high priest gave them money and told them to lie, and they would protect them so nothing would happen to them. But the angel said to the women, "Jesus is risen. He's not here. Come and see where he laid." And they did, I am sure. Yet, when you look at the tomb and you can see how they laid these bodies, remember this was a tomb that had never been used. And it was Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and they say he was a wealthy person. Yet Christ laid in that tomb that he himself had created at the beginning of the world, because he created the heavens and the earth, because he was there with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, and he's God the Son. And you see those three created the heavens and the earth, And they are the ones that planned for salvation. They're the ones that said, if we need salvation, God the Son, you will go down and you will become that sacrifice. You will be beaten and mocked and made fun of and kicked and whatnot. And you will be hung on a cross. And when you are lifted up from the earth, you will draw all people unto yourself. And yet today we can see when we talk to people about Christ, we can talk and tell them all the history. And when we tell them that Jesus died for their sins, they're convicted by the Holy Spirit in their heart and in their life. You see, God has told us that if we believe on his Son, Jesus, that came into the world, we will be saved. And if we profess Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we will be saved. When Christ calls us out of this world and we stand before him, having him as our personal Lord and Savior, the forgiveness of sins that's been forgiven to us, we will hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Lord. But those who have rejected Christ and rejected salvation and rejected the story of salvation and how God had planned this even before the foundation of the world, they will hear him say, depart from me, you wicked workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And they will end up in everlasting fire, it says, prepared for the devil and his angels. We should, if we claim Christ and we claim him risen from the dead, we should be willing, because we have him as our personal Lord and Savior, be willing to stand up to any abuse or any mockery that people might want to give to us, because God said, you know, they hated me, they will hate you. They made fun of me, they're going to make fun of you. But remember, Jesus died for your sins and for mine. And in that death, on the cross of Calvary, he gave his life. Remember, he said, it is finished. I have won the battle. And in winning that battle, he has taken away the part that would stop us from salvation. Because in faith, believing what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, we can have eternal life. Yes. God will forgive us of all of our past sin. And if we come to him in true repentance of sin, we will find that Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he will give us the Holy Spirit to live in us, through us, that we may serve him all the days of our life. And in the physical world, we're going to have trials and temptations. But we find that we can live for Christ. Think of how those women, when they realized Christ was risen, and the angel says, he is risen. He's no longer here. See, this is where he was. There's his grave clothes, but he is not here. Go and tell his disciples. And so they ran, excited, awesome, maybe scared, and told the disciples. The disciples did not believe at first. John and Peter came to the tomb and found it. And John says he believed. They believed when they seen Jesus had risen, although they had not seen Jesus at that point. Yet they knew what he had told them was true, that Easter Sunday he would arise. We do it with Easter lilies. We do it with praise songs. And praise God, we can do that. It is good for us to sing praises to God in song as well as in word. It is good for us to be able to stand in front of our fellow man and in front of our friends and relatives and neighbors and say, the Lord is risen indeed, because the grave could not keep him, because he is holy and he is just and he is perfect. And sin is not perfect, therefore it cannot hold him. He overcame sin. He overcame the devil. He overcame the grave. And he's giving it all to us as we have him as our personal Lord and Savior. You see, Jesus says, come unto me. And that's what he means. I will give you life, and I will give it to you more abundantly. And yes, you may have trials in life, but I want you to know that if you have my peace, you will never be ashamed. You will be one that stands forever, and you will hear me tell you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when I call you out of this world. We look at our lives and we say many times, God could never save me, yet God came to save those who were sick from sin. He came to save those who were willing to call upon him. And he wants us to call upon him today. And he wants us to live for him day by day. That on Easter Sunday, as well as every other day, we can praise God and say, he is risen from the dead. He is no longer dead, but he is alive, and he is the living God in which I serve. And then we can go into Romans chapter 8, and we find this is part of what Paul is writing to the Romans as well as to us. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him, or through God, through Christ, who loved us. He loved us so much. He was willing to leave his throne on high and to come and live as a man amongst us and to give his life a ransom for each one of us. And then it goes on, Paul writes, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That power in the name of Jesus. The only power that we have is Christ Jesus, and he died on the cross for us. He rose again that day. And Easter then, we can say happy Easter, because what a glorious, wonderful day it is to have and to know Jesus is risen in my heart and in my life, as well as in the world itself, giving us the peace and the love and understanding that we need as we go from this church and from this place, that God was willing to send his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever, and that you and me, believing in him, and believing what he did on the cross of Calvary, we have eternal life, and we will never perish. Praise the Lord. And then we can all say, he is risen. I didn't hear anybody say it. He is risen. He is.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, be with us. Help us to realize your grace and your mercy. Help us to realize you are risen. Help us to realize this Easter, you have not only risen from the dead, you've risen in our hearts. Help us to live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 98.
Deathless love.